Well, good morning, everyone. We are blessed with some wonderful weather and a joy to see. All right. Well, pray that we might be able to wind down this lesson today. Want to kind of look and see where we are in building relationship in 1 Peter chapter 3. We had verses 8 through 12 that we're looking at. In fact, I'll read them and then we'll kind of work through this last part of this lesson. It says, Finally, ye be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye hereunto called that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him speak peace and endure it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that you do have your ears open for those that love you. And Father, that those that are not of the right mind or not focused on you or have you as the center of their lives, that you do not hear their prayers as easily. But Father, you listen for the pleas of those that love you. And Father, I'm thankful that you are just, you are right, and you take care of each and every one of us. And Father, you bring us along as we learn and do what we're supposed to be doing. And Father, you give us those blessings as we go through. And Father, I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit guides and directs us. I'm thankful that we can trust that that is ever there to just keep us mindful of what we need to be doing and how we need to act. And I know, Father, that we get challenged on a regular basis. The world around us wants evil rather than good. And Father, I do pray that we would focus our mind on what you would have us to do and how to do this. We're thankful for the apostle as he wrote this letter that gives us some direction and some wisdom and instructions on how we're to conduct our lives. And Father, I know that it's tough most of the time. But Father, through the Holy Spirit, we know that you are giving us the strength that we need. And we do ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, as we left off, we were looking, we go back here one, where we talked about instructions about building relationships as we went through there. And it talks of be of one mind and compassion, loving and tenderhearted and to be humble. And that's difficult a lot of the times. And we get challenged, but what he wants to tell us to use some kind words as we work there. There's times when maybe those kind words need to have an exclamation point put on them once in a while. But what we see is that we're to do our utmost to help kind of preserve peace. Where our goal is not to create animosity. The world thinks that Christianity is what is the cause of all the problems. When in reality, it's the failure to realize that Christ died for us, and our salvation gives us the direction that we need, and we're to kind of put anger aside. We're to take that old nature and try to do our best to make sure that the Holy Spirit has full control, and those will kind of be put at rest, and we're not to think about things like we're not to begin or originate a quarrel. We don't find a point to do that. Sometimes when we're witnessing to somebody or sharing maybe some scripture, it might create the other person might feel that, well, you shouldn't be telling me that kind of stuff, or you shouldn't be saying those kinds of things. And we're not to do that. It's that we're to be peaceful in spirit. And, when we present things, we do it from a calm manner, not a droning manner, but in such a way that it kind of disarms the person. They can't come back and say, well, you know, you said, or you do things different than what you say. And when in reality, we're to live what we say, and we're to avoid trying to create those kind of situations. And it'll keep us from being with those that tend to be contentious. Or when we do meet with somebody that, oh boy, here he comes again. Sit down, he's going to bring up this, or every time I talk with him, he's going to go this direction. And we just pray that the Lord will give us wisdom and direction there. And so that we'll tend to be more peaceful. You know, like Psalm 34:14 says, depart from evil, do good, speak peace, and pursue it. And, you know, they always get out there and go, okay, well, if you think so much about peace, why don't you take it over there to that our enemy and present it with them? Well, sometimes it works. Sometimes the enemy's not ready to hear it. But we just need to be persistent, but to be consistent. And that's what it comes down to. And as we look here with this segment, the reasons for the instructions, we see that, first off, it shows, those instructions, they show us the way of Christ. And as we talk to people, you know, knowing these, knowing that ye are hereunto called, and it's what Peter's pointing out. It says he gives reasons for his instructions are built for the building of the relationships, and we're called to follow Christ. And there are people that accept Christ as their Savior, but that's all the more they do. They just stop. And I think Paul called them carnal Christians. They didn't get anything beyond, okay, I'm saved, and that's all the more. And that's it. You know, God has kept his promise to save them and give them eternal life, but they're missing out on blessings. We're going to find out that, you know, this is, and ye should inherit a blessing as a result of this. And so we're called to follow Christ, and at no time did the Lord render evil for evil. We mentioned that in past lessons and last week, that we're not to render evil for evil. Jesus was our example. He showed us that we're to live as peaceable as possible. And oftentimes when we're challenged, we might need to be stern, but yet do it in a loving manner. And so there's a way in which we look at this, and this is where we're called. It's our calling. This is our business in life. So once we get saved, our calling is to follow Christ, do what Christ would have us do. And as Romans 12, 19 through 21 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. God's the only one that is to claim that. And it says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. He's keeping track. He's keeping like the golfers, you know. Yep, I don't follow golf. My dad does, and it's fun to watch those guys. The professional guys, they're out there. They'll pull their scorecard out and they'll write down what they're supposed to do. And at the end of the round, they turn it in and they compare them. Of course, they got cameras everywhere, so these guys can't lie when they write their stuff down. I always get a kick out of guys that brag about, yeah, when I go play golf with him, this guy's got two scorecards or he's got a big eraser. You know, he's out there changing his score to make it look better. God's keeping score. He's keeping track, one, of where the unsaved person could have gotten saved. And I'm sure that at the judgment that he's going to point out to them, you could have gotten saved here, 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 in these different places. These are the people that affected your life that you could have. And then I'm sure he's going to show us at the judgment seat of Christ where we're going to miss those blessings. Well, he says, you did this, so therefore you missed this. I don't really know. I'm just guessing that might be what it comes down to. But it says that, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Verse 20 says, if he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. That is the real goal, and it's very difficult. The world is doing its best right now to make sure that they're going to They're going to stay after us, and they're going to try to trip us up every which way they can. And we're not only, it's not only our duty, but it's our best interest. Because if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, showing, returning good for evil, the world's going to say, wow, why do they always do that? I'm sure each one of us, when we hear of a disaster around the world, who's the first one that usually crops in there besides the Red Cross? The United States usually gives aid, and it's for countries that hate us. Well, so that kind of comes back to when you think about our founding fathers. It was Christian attitude. It was the attitude that we are going to do our best if we can possibly do it. And Albert Barnes, his comment was, knowing that you were called to be Christians in order that you should obtain a blessing infinite and eternal in heavens. Expecting such a blessing ourselves, you should be ready to scatter blessings on all others. The hope of eternal life should make your minds calm, and the prospect that you are to be exalted in heaven and fill your hearts with love. And there is nothing which is better suited to cause our hearts to overflow with compassion, to make us ready to forgive all others when they injure us, than the hope of salvation. Cherishing such a hope ourselves, we cannot but wish that all others may share it. That's one thing, sharing the gospel. The world doesn't want to hear it. The world is, oh, I can get by on my own. Well, they'll find out one day. And it says this will lead us to wish for them every blessing. A man who has a hope of in heaven, as in Titus 2:12, that blessed hope that is talked about. It should abound with everything that we do, and show that a Christian is a sincere well-wisher for everyone else. And why should one who expects soon to be in heaven harbor malice in his bosom? Why should he wish to injure a fellow worm, so to speak? He says, how can it be? And that's really what it really comes down to is that it should show us the way of Christ. Christ, what did he do to his enemies? He wished blessings on them. He showed them the kindness. There are a lot of people that he healed that didn't bother to thank him for what he did. There are many that listened to his teachings that didn't follow him. They just wanted to be fed or things like that. They were there expecting, to be given something rather than to receive what Christ offered to them. They wanted that physical thing and not the spiritual. And that's what it comes down to. And then, like we mentioned in verse 9, they lead to a reward. We talked about that there. To inherit a blessing, the full enjoyment of our life can only be ours when we express it toward others with the same patience and forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32 says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And we need to think about that. We're going to have disagreements amongst ourselves, have disagreements within family members. And oftentimes we need to stop and think, I was forgiven for my sins. I need to be willing to forgive some of those. And there's a point where you say, okay, enough is enough. And you'll separate. You aren't going to, hold any animosity toward that person. You might have to separate from them for a time. Paul had that happen. And then finally came back around that there was some reconciliation that showed in there. But as God for Christ's sake forgiven you, God, on the account of what Christ suffered and had done, has pardoned us. We need to do it. And if you look at it, it's freely given, fully and liberally. He didn't just, give you a little bit at a time. When he gave you salvation, you got it completely. Now, we build on that, and we, in building that, conform to the image of Christ more and more. We're getting that old nature pushed aside, and the newness is coming through. And when it says freely, it says without merit. There was nothing that we brought to it. How many times has it been pointed out here that we bring nothing? We're completely bankrupt. We were completely in the wrong. There was nothing that we brought in there. And it was fully given. There was nothing that was not forgiven for us when we got saved. And liberally, you know, we're going to go through this life. We're going to be making mistakes left and right. And how many times are we forgiven? Every time we ask for forgiveness. Is God going to forgive us when we don't ask him? He's ready and waiting. He's wanting us to realize that we've committed a sin. We need to agree with him that it wasn't right. And we're forgiven. 1 John 1:9 tells us that. And as one commentator put it, this is to be the rule which we are to observe in forgiving others. Like I said, freely, fully, and liberally, the forgiveness is to be entire, cordial, and constant. We're not to rake up old offenses and charge them again. Charge them up again. There are times that we do that. We rake things up. Oh, well, see, all that person's here. Oh, yeah, I remember the time that he. Do you? You know, and no, that's not how we're supposed to be. We're to make sure to treat them as though they had not offended, and if they did, we need to forget. We don't need to be bringing it back up. They might bring it up, but we need to point out and say, you know, well, I don't remember that incident. One of them says that forgiveness of an offending brother is the duty that we are not at liberty to forget, to neglect. We're also the peace and happiness of the church depends on us. We're all liable to offend our brother, as all are liable to offend God. All need forgiveness one of another as we need that of God. It's something that we truly need to really think about. Is there's no danger of carrying it too far. I mean, you can't forgive too often. One person said, let the rule be observed. As God has forgiven you, so do you forgive others. It's kind of a paraphrase of that. Let a man recollect his own sins and follies. Let him look over his life and see how often he's offended God. Let him remember that all has been done, has been forgiven. And then, fresh with this feeling, let him go, meet an offending brother and say, my brother, I forgive you. I do it frankly, fully, and wholly. That would really get somebody going. You know, walk up to him. Oh, you remember when we got in that argument? I completely forget. That might start it again. You got to be careful how you present it. But Christians, you know, Christ forgave me. And maybe that's what it needs to be. And maybe it was an offending point between the two. And say, you know, the last time we met, we really had gotten kind of a tangle about this. And, you know, I've been praying about it and says, I need to be forgiven for how I acted. And that person might realize, goes, wow, okay, that he's asking me to forgive him. And that person, you know, depending on his position, you might say, well, yeah, he deserved it. Or, oh, wow, you know, I'm really sorry for that. Would you forgive me too? And it's a mutual. It's mutual upon that part. It should be... Not that we really bring it back up again. If it comes up, maybe it was a problem. Maybe somebody thought about that. Maybe when it comes up, the point may have been a dispute over who knows what. But you take a little time and reminisce over that and say, you know, I'm really thankful for that discussion, and it opened my mind to a few things that you had to say. You know, because I saw when I did my studying that this, and this applied. So it's really something to think about, and this is the ultimate reward for treating others as we ought will come in eternity. Where there's no measure of patience, forgiving, and forgiving spirit, because it'll be, you know, it's not going unnoticed by Christ. When we have that forgiving spirit, that's being watched to see how our life is. You know, the Father is happy when all of a sudden we realize, you know, I need to really forgive that person. Or I need to ask for forgiveness for this somehow. And that's when, again, Christ has got that scorecard up there. He's keeping track of that and keep an eye on it. Yeah. Remember, when we ask for forgiveness for our sins, he forgets them. They're cast as far as the east is from the west. And a thought provoker here to think about is what kind of deed have you done for someone lately that Christ will make sure does not go unrecognized? That's one of those ones of going, you know, yeah, God, I was pretty nice to that guy. you know, I helped out here. I think you should remember it. No, that's not what he's looking at. You know, sometimes the attitude we get, he goes, boy, I feel really good about that. Well, it's okay to feel good about helping somebody out. But it's not one of those ones who keep bringing up, you know, hey, God, remember when I did that? Remember when I did that? I'm sure he'll remind you. He might thump you on the back of that and say, yeah, I do remember. Now, move on. He might say that. You never know. And then when we think about that, we look at they bring a meaning of life in verse 10. And it says, for he that will love life, see good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they may speak no guile. So process that we learn some godly manners, so to speak, and we'll enjoy satisfying, meaningful life. That's what it really comes down to. We will love life rather than walk around going, yeah, I think I'm pretty good with it, you know, puffing your chest out a little bit. But that life will mean such that we will really enjoy things a lot better. Peter's actually quoting from Psalms 34, 12 through 16. It says, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, and cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. And he goes right into verse 12 with that. But, you know, it's just, we want a long and happy life while we're on this earth. And we're going to be challenged by that. And Peter's already pointed out, and is in James and Paul, that we're going to have adversity in the life. We're going to have trials that are going to challenge us, that may make us, oh man, why do I have to put up with that? And letting us understand that as we go through life, those bumps in the road, things that cause us to trip and fall, when we get up, we need to dust ourselves off a little bit and thank the Lord for what's going on. Basically, he who wishes to live a long life and prosperity must act as if he must refrain from evil speaking, like we're talking about. He must avoid flattery and fair speeches, which cover hypocrisy or wicked intentions. There are people that goes, you know, you're really pretty good person. You're pretty giving, and you've always got a great attitude about things. And some people might just be puffing us up, just to either get on our good side, or just, you know, sometimes they're doing it in a ridiculing manner. We got to be careful. And some of us might go, oh yeah, I really am kind of, you know, pretty good, and cause us to feel puffed up. And in reality, we take it and we thank the person. You know, some people, it's hard for them to say thank you for a compliment. And that's what we need to do, is just as a compliment, say, thank you, thank you. And say, well, you know, it's only because of the Lord. I'm so grateful when a person says that very, very, those very words. I'm thankful that the Lord allowed me to be able to do that. And it will really sometimes set people back going, oh, yeah. And maybe get them to think a little bit, well, I need to do that. By avoiding evil and keep going away from evil, making sure that, okay, that thing is kind of a trigger for me, I'm going to avoid it. And that's such a challenge. It might be someplace we go, things that we look at, things that, you know, we do or say. It's so very important that we be aware of that. Sometimes maybe somebody, you could, you know, say, hey, you know, if I say that, could you politely remind me that I should not be doing that? Especially if it's offensive. And you could be maybe polite in some way, but you could be, what's the term? Sickingly sweet in the way in which it can be applied. You know, and some people have that personality, you know, and you kind of go, oh, I wish they just wouldn't say anything. But there's some people that's how they were raised. I think of the Southern hospitality. That's why they drink sweet tea down there, I think. can't handle sweet tea. I don't know about anybody else. But it gives you that. Some people have that syrupy sweet attitude. And you just smile and say, well, that's them. And just say, thank you for them. Because sometimes they're a blessing. They can just brighten you up. We live peaceably with all men. We've pointed that out many times. We seek peace to where it might even be lost. There's a time when there could be a disruption. And somehow you say, Lord, I really want to reconcile this thing. I don't know how or why. You know, I want to, if it was me, please point it out and show me how I can correct this. And maybe it's just, hey, let's go have some coffee. I need to talk to you about something. And sometimes it just mends that brokenness that people don't realize. You know, it says, he who lives must live happy in himself. We need to be happy with ourselves. And then there's people out there that on the outward can be very polite and outward going, and inside, they're not happy at all. And sometimes it'll show its way through. That's when we need to be there, and when we see that person might have a little crack in that armor. Something might shine through, you know, maybe not to excess, but we oftentimes can see where somebody is hurting. And you say, wow, you're very strong when this, but I'm seeing that you got that look on your face like you're in anguish on something. Hopefully it wouldn't offend somebody, but somebody might say, thank you. You know, I really have this problem. Would you pray with me about it? Sometimes that has to come up. And we realize that opens up, and then all of a sudden the person, you can just see them relax and just see them say, I needed that. I just needed somebody to just maybe put my burden on for a minute and share it. And that's what's so wonderful about, you know, close fellowship like this. We can share burdens with each other. We can jest and disagree and then sit down and pray together. And that's the real joy. It's believers who harbor grudges about being wronged or stew about how they wished everyone else would change in order to please them end up wasting their lives and oftentimes their health. I was watching the other day, there was something about first responders and realizing that stress in their lives was causing some physical issues. Well, it's been pointed out for years, but this one person who had been a responder for years realized that in their lives when they got cancer. And they went through this, overcame it, and it ended up allowing them to be able to work with others and see that. Well, as Christians, oftentimes we go through a trial for something and realize that was for us to help somebody else. And we don't realize that until that person walks up and you say, oh, that just happened to me not too long ago. And you can maybe sit down with them and just lovingly share with them. So and bitterness is an attempt to hurt others, oftentimes backfires in our lives. You know, life becomes a drudgery and full of sadness when we choose not to pursue peace and bless with others. That's what it really comes down to is, how do we want to live our life? Do we want to walk around a curmudgeon with a pooch face and you know, always walking around, or do we walk around with a realistic smile, not a plastic smile, but a realistic one? You know, we're happy inside. We're thankful that the Lord saved us, and we want that to show through our lives, and it's a wonderful thing. And then we look at that. It says they prepare us to give an answer to God, and this is where Psalms also pointed out to us in that last few verses. You know, it says verse 12 here is, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the faith of the Lord is against them that do evil. And we look back at verse 15 of Psalms 34. It says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Can you imagine, you know, a Christian that goes through life, as that last verse says, in there that the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And he says, cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. That's a scary thought. That we're going to, if you're a Christian, you're going to stand before Christ. And he's going to point that out. And that blessing, he's going to say, you know, you could have had this, but because you did this. Think of Moses. He did what God told him not to do. And God didn't forget. He says, you're not going in the promised land. You can see it. You can look at it afar. But I'm not going to let you go in there. And we know that his promise says that we will have eternal life with him in heaven, but that eternal life in heaven could be without some of the blessings that we were supposed to receive as rewards. And God's going to remind us of that. And both the Christian and the non-Christian are going to answer to the Lord. We've seen how many times in Paul's epistles talks about that we're going to stand before that judgment seat and we're going to be judged for what we did. And of course, in John in Revelation said that their reward is going to be the lake of fire. And it points out those. But we're going to realize that, like Paul, who had that thorn in the flesh, Christians are going to have some sort of thing up there that's going to make them remember. Make them, as we talked about earlier, to have that humble spirit. And 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10 says, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For the eyes of the Lord are like verse 12 says, over the righteous. He's going to watch us. He's going to see how we're doing. He knows when we're in pain. He's going to send some ability for us to be able to either handle it or to be able to, when we handle that and come through it, we're going to use it in our lives. One, to make us stronger, but it may be just an example that somebody needs to realize that, you know, he looks favorably upon us. He's waiting patiently for the lost sinner to seek forgiveness and ask for Christ to save him. But he's watching us. And those that keep doing evil, as it says here, it says the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. He's set there that he's going to show them. He's going to get that vengeance. He's going to show them again where they could have. And I really think that time, standing at that judgment, people are going to stand there with their mouth wide open, not able to say a thing, can't challenge God at all. That full judgment that we're going to actually go to, and that when there's pain caused because of evil, as a Christian, and there's Christians out there that have an evil spirit, or an evil tendency, I won't say a spirit, but they have allowed that nature to continue after salvation. And it's so very sad. And Christ is going to point that out. And a person that lives that life is going to be very most miserable. That scripture escapes me dealing with that, but there's people out there that are going to be miserable even though they're saved. And really what we really are doing is we're trying to follow Peter's instructions about building godly, lasting relationships within each other, but also a relationship that the lost will tend to ask, say, why are you the way you are? Could you tell me about that? That's another type of relationship that, as a Christian, that we end up building. And, you know, we think of coworkers that are with us. You know, Brother Travis pointed out that, you know, each and every one of us here have the ability to reach many people more than we think. We don't realize the eyes that are following us. Even though it says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, that's what God's doing the lost are looking at us. They're looking at us with, is he going to trip up, or is he going to be, has he got some, he's got something that I need. And that's really what that relationship builds with it. We won't have a close relationship with the lost like we do with other Christians, but yet that relationship that we do have could really open doors like we don't realize. And as a result, we can rejoice when those doors are open and share that gospel and plant the seed. And we need to realize that we're never too busy to share the gospel. Oftentimes we'll get going along and do things that we don't, I don't have time to talk to that person. I need to, that's the time when it comes to remembrance to stop and say, okay, what can I do? Maybe I can just leave them in track. Maybe the opportunity is there that I can share a little bit with them. And maybe it'll open the door for that person to say, hey, could you come back later and tell me a little bit more about what you're talking about? I see that you're busy. Could you come and tell me about that? And that's probably the sweetest blessing that a person has. But, you know, we look through here and some questions that come up for us to as we close down. What trials in your life could you have avoided if you'd lived out the instructions that are talked here? Or how can you use that regret to spur yourself to be obedience as you move forward? The other question, from whom do I need to seek forgiveness or ask for forgiveness in the way maybe we treated them? Or are you holding grudges that you need to surrender to the Lord? Are you neglecting the needs of maybe somebody around you? And have you grown cold and callous toward others? Those are thought-provoking questions that, you know, the Lord will use in our lives. And realizing that, am I where I need to be? And of course, we know that we're always continually growing as long as we're on this earth. And we're growing, hopefully, in such a way that we're focusing on the Lord more than we're focusing on the things around us. It's not that we're not to neglect those, because we need to be doing that. We need to be working. We need to be examples. And that, as Peter's instructions pointed out here, the Lord is looking over us, and he's excited when he sees us grow and sees us sharing the gospel like we should and building those relationships. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for just how you work in our lives. You give us the wisdom and the direction in which we need to go. And Father, I'm thankful I pray that each one of us is thankful when we yield to that movement and know that we need to do maybe something that we weren't planning on doing, but we find that it's more rewarding. And Father, I'm so thankful for the truth that's in your word, that if we neglect it, that we're going to find out where we need to improve in that area. And I'm thankful, Father, that you bring us along as we allow it, but Father, that you urge us when we are resistant. And Father, we know that you are looking out for the best for us, and your best is always better than whatever we could ever come up with. And Father, I'm thankful again for each one that's here. I'm thankful for the attentiveness of it. Do pray for Pastor and Lisa as they're traveling. And for those that are coming here shortly, I pray, Father, for the morning service as Brother Travis brings forth the challenge in his sermon. We ask, Father, that you'll just be with us throughout that, and may we just glorify you in all that's done. And we ask it for your Son's sake. Amen.